everybody, let's get right into it, all right? Because I'm excited and I want you to get this. So, hi, how are you? Let's get into it. Psalm 37. We're going to get into something that the boss has put on my heart, and he's had it on my heart for, what do you mean put it on your heart? I can't get away from this thought. It keeps coming up in my heart. It keeps coming up on the inside of me. And it's a whole concept of how he wants this to be said to you. And we're going to introduce it here in this first scripture, Psalm 37. And sometimes and it's good and proper and right to go to the scriptures surrounding a passage or a verse and to get context and really get the meaning of what the thought process is, the image here, you know, in the heart of the speaker that God's put in them to write this down. But I want us to focus on one phrase that gives us a very solid principle that God wants you to get right here and now. And it's this, Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall you dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. This is where he wanted to get to, Psalm 37, 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now look at that last part. He shall give thee the desires of your heart. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now get that. God gives us, you and I, the desires of our heart, of our inner self, the real self, the real inner core of us. God gives us the desires of the heart. Now, of our heart. Now notice, who's the giver here? He is. Who's he giving to? You and I. And what does he give us? What does he give us? The desires of our heart. Now let that sink in for a second. He gives us the desires of our heart. Now notice, he keeps it very simple. He doesn't give you a price amount or a limit or a boundary. He says, if it's in your heart as a desire, I'm the one who gives it to you. Now, there's a lot of different directions we could go with this, but I want you just to keep it simple and look at this concept and stick with the simplicity here. We get what we desire from him. Now, wherever you are right now, I mean, if you're out in public, you can just say it under your breath or close your eyes and say it to yourself. But if you're driving in the car, listen to this at work. But just say this to yourself. I get what I desire from him. Now, who's him? That's our best friend. That is the God who has made us his very best friends. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He has made us the righteousness of God in him. He has made us his blood covenant best friends. Yes, he's made us his sons. Yes, he's made us his children. He did those things so that we could live in a eternal best friendship with him. Ooh, come on, man. It's so exciting. I want to rush and cry and laugh and shout all at the same time. But we got stuff to talk about first. We get what we desire from him. Listen, the search is over about looking for someone or somewhere that you can go to get what you want and get what you desire. Look, the desire of my heart and the desire of your heart may be two very different things, but we know this, if we've been made his righteous best friends, made his sons and daughters, if we've made an all-in, all-the-time commitment to God and accepted his friendship and have said out of our mouth, because we believe it, that Jesus is our Lord and our master and our boss, there's no evil desires in us. There may be appetites of our flesh and physical body and of our unrenewed mind that we need to keep at bay, but we're not running around plotting how to, you know, overthrow a third world country. Or, you know, listen, the desires of our heart have changed. But if you desire a new job or desire a better situation, desire help, desire physical improvement where you've, you know, been limited or debilitated in any certain way or form, desire better acuity of mind or clarity of thought, whatever the desire may be, an open door of opportunity. But we get the desires of our heart from Him. He's the one that gives it to us. That, listen, that God wants you to hear that and know that, and we're going to repeat it as many times as He has us to do it, to put you at ease and give you relief, that the search for where to get what you desire is over. You get it from God, your best friend. You get it from Him. Man, doesn't that just put you at ease? Doesn't that just give you like a, whew, a sense of relief? You get what you desire from Him. You get what you get the desires of your heart from Him. He's the one who does it. You don't have to stress and toil anymore about how you're going to get something. And we're going to talk about how to cooperate with this. It's not very complex. You know, there is a step. Listen, just like in checkers, God makes a move and you make a move. Well, He's told you a certain thing here, but now we need to respond to it. But the response is super simple and very easy. This will work for the smallest child who has any sort of comprehension of this. We get what we desire from Him. He's the one who gives it to us. And that helps us because you don't have to hustle and toil. When I mean toil, I mean struggle. And, you know, we're going to work this angle and get this thing and do that. And I'm going to sell this. I'm going to work this out. But man, you still come out behind. You wore yourself slap out trying to get it. You get what I'm saying? What if we just went straight to the source? And the Bible talks about it, that God is our source. Abraham said to his only son at the time in Genesis 22, the boy Isaac was asking, he said, "Sir, I see the, you know, the fire and where the in the wood, but where is the offering?" And Abraham said this, "God will provide." Well, that sets a precedent that is able to be trusted for the rest of both covenants, the old one and the new one, the first one and the second one. God is a provider and a supplier. I was asking him one time, because I was having trouble finding any material, you know, like training material, resources, about God being our source. And I'd found one and there wasn't many others. And I said, "Sir, am I just looking in the wrong place?" And he said, "No." He said, "It's because there isn't much out there where ministers, men and women, have really emphasized that I am the Almighty Source." Genesis 17, God introduces Himself to Abram in a new light, and He says, "I am the Almighty God." He says, "Walk before Me and be thou perfect." Well, Abraham evidently knew what that meant, but you and I don't. It sounds very churchy because we've heard it. It's King James English. But what does it mean in a covenant relationship? What does it mean to a best friendship? Well, he helped me hear it a different way one day, and I wrote it down and never forgot it. And this is how he sang it to you and I. "I am the Almighty Source," or all-powerful source. "Live under My sight and My care, and look to Me and Me alone for everything." Well, hey, that's a whole different thing. Like, you're My source. You're all powerful. Why would I go anywhere else? Of course, I'm going to live with You underneath Your sight and Your care. You tell me where to go, I go. Tell me what to do, I do it. But I look to You and You alone for everything. Again and again in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, we see David get in a jam or in a trouble or in a military engagement or a problem, and it says he inquired of the Lord. He checked in with Him, took it to Him. Listen, especially in 1 Samuel 30, where his wives have been kidnapped and all of his His men's wives and children have been taken captive, and their homes have been burned down. You're in a jam. What's the desire of your heart? To get out of it. Instead of rushing off by himself or, you know, calling an audible and making up some kind of plan or statement, David stops and reminds himself. Says he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Well, let's put it in the context that we've been emphasizing for so long. David encouraged himself, Psalm 23:1 in the Passion Translation. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his best friend and shepherd, in whom we always have more than enough. Who was his source. You seeing it? His best friend was his source. And for the sake of our conversation for this block of training, let's say it like this. Our best friend is our hookup. We don't need to go shake a tree anymore. We don't need to wonder who's got it and ask for a favor. Now, if God leads you to call somebody, call him. You'd be missing God if you didn't. He's giving you a signal. Hey, call this person. But you don't have to shake a tree anymore. You don't have to come hat in hand and beg for anything. You don't have to work a plan over here and to get a score a deal over here. No. God's your hookup. Not just your hookup. He's the hookup. You got it? Right on, man. Listen, let's look at this scripture over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6:17 says this, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Just because you have resources or amount of money, don't be put on airs or be stuck up. He said, no trust, put your confidence in uncertain riches. Boy, ain't money uncertain. Man, you can have just an absolute blue chip stock on one day, and the next day it can fall $1 billion in value. He said, but put your trust in the living God. What does he mean, living God? In the eternal, permanent source. It's not a thing. It's a person. And who is that person? Your best friend and my best friend. Man, doesn't that just take your confidence? Again, doesn't that take your confidence to another level? And it says, in the living God, or our eternal, permanent source, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That's the hookup. That is, with a capital H and a capital up. That's the hookup, man. He is. He's the one. He's who we get our stuff from. He's who we get our desires from. Whether they're seen, whether they're internal or external, seen or unseen, you know, whether it's, I need an idea, I need a way out, I need an open door of favor, I need help, I need a rescue plan here, you know, whatever it may be. He is our permanent source, and he gives us richly all things to enjoy. But notice, he gives. We put our confidence in him as our source. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. You and I can act on that right now and just say, God, you are my source, and I put my trust in you. I believe you. You give me richly all things to enjoy. Thank you. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing some rich things to enjoy. Isn't that right? Absolutely. But notice, yet again, another writer in another place is telling us that God is our source, that he is our hookup, and that he gives us things. Let's not be overly complicated. He gives us things.
Well, that means spiritual things.
How do you know? Things mean things. He was just talking about riches. Those are things. let the light dawn. Or like as the book of Psalms says, Selah. No, he means things. Amen. So be it. God, your source, is able to get you things. And don't be timid about it. He wants you to have stuff. Listen, we're not going to take it with us. We're just going to use it while we're here. But while we're here, why not have some stuff? Especially for this reason. If you don't have enough stuff, how's he going to tell you to give any of it to anybody else? How's he going to tell you to give any of it to his operation or his kingdom? No, he wants you to have it. He wants you to have means to give. I was saying to a friend earlier in the week, when we leave this earth, the only thing we can take with us is what we did for God, our best friend, and with him, and who we helped. That's all we can take with us. What we did for him and with him, and who we helped. That's it. We're traveling out of here light. As I heard one of my elders in the faith say this sometime back, our good stuff is on the other side. Our good stuff, our nice things are over there. I know friends who have left a long-term deployment in the Middle East. And man, when they left, you know, they got themselves an ice maker and a, you know, in the wall AC unit. Well, they couldn't bring that home on, you know, Emirates Airlines or American Airlines. They left it there. They left it there. They left it, you know, in the hands of, you know, a coworker or someone they sold it to. We're going to do the same thing. But I want you to see the principle that God is our hookup, and he's the one who gives us the desires of our heart. He's the one who gives us richly things, all things to enjoy. That means we never need to look for an alternate source. If he gives us all things, and the Bible says he does, remember, this is a blood covenant. So he gives us all things, that means all things. Well, we go to him first. Sir, this is the part of the all things that I want, but I'm deciding I'm getting it from you. I'm already excited. Amen. Well, one more place to look at just to set this precedent and tone right here. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 32, talking about God, our best friend again, says he didn't spare his own son. The King James says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. So not just give us richly all things. He gives us richly all things, and he gives us freely all things. I like something that the book of James said. Remember, if you don't know this, and if you do, it's good to hear it again. The apostle James, who wrote the book of James, right in the back of the New Covenant, right before you get to Revelation, he was Jesus' half-brother. He was Jesus' younger brother through Mary and Joseph. So he grew up with the man, saw him operate. There's a whole different tone in his writing. Writing is from the perspective of one who saw him live it, saw him teach it, and then later on, the light dawned on him of what it was all about. He's got a voice of experience. One of the things he says is, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is neither variableness or, you know, he's not shifty, and there's no shadow of turning. Now, those are very King Jamesy phrases, but what does he mean? He never changes and never has even the slightest variation. He is the picture of consistency and permanence. Do you know what that means? You can always count on him. You can always count on him. You're never going to go to him one day and he's like, oh, yeah, 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 I'll give that to you. And the next day, you know what? I've been thinking about it. I changed my mind about that. No, that's, you can't count on somebody like that. That's not dependable. He's saying that God, whom the Old Testament referred to as our rock, is rock solid, dependable, reliable. So he gives us freely all things and gives us richly all things to enjoy. But who gives it? He does. Where do we get it from? We get it from him. What's the it? The things that we desire in our heart. Now, this is a good place to put this in here. We won't spend too much time. You know, we can get caught up in passing fancies just like anybody else. We can see a new shiny object or something catches our attention and go, ooh, I want that. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And we can get all in a tizzy about it. But if we really stopped and were honest about it, we'd realize, you know what? I don't really want that. That was just a, I'd like to have it. And those are fine. But I mean a desire where you're like, God, this thing is in my heart. It is real. Oh, yeah. You know what they are. You don't need me to over-explain that. Well, let me tell you a story. And this is very, very important to our discussion tonight. Several weeks back in early January, mid-January, I was driving my daughter to our local grocery store. I had a Misfit Toy Society appointment with a friend who lives in a city west of here. And I had an appointment with him two nights later. I was going to ride out with him. He's in law enforcement. He invited me to come ride out with him. Well, I was going to go. Yeah, absolutely. And as I'm going to get some things done, run some errands and, you know, get some stuff ready, I'm going to the grocery store. I had my daughter with me. She was riding in my right in the passenger seat. And I just heard like something in the truck that sounded like almost like you put a piece of grass in a fan, you know, high pitched. And finally I heard a clink and a clank and a clunk, and I lost all power steering. And I'm trying to steer a 2,500, you know, Ram pickup truck, you know, with the Hemi engine in it. And I can't, it is absolutely breaking a sweat on my forehead. And I'm breathing hard just to turn it. No power steering. So we park it. And we finally get into the lot, park it in the back. I call my wife, tell her what happened. And we're trying to, you know, troubleshoot it and find out what it could be. And we do our shopping and she meets us there. Well, it's not the fluid, that's for sure. The only thing I can think of is that it had to have been some kind of belt or whatever. But, you know, I got an appointment, you know, two nights from now, well, less than 36 hours away. And, just over 48 hours away. And, let me tell you, internet vehicle repair websites, they're like WebMD. I don't know if you ever looked on WebMD. You know, you go on there looking for something that says you you may have shingles. You may be 3 days from death. Like, it's always the worst case scenario. And I saw some people mention things similar happening to their, you know, Ram trucks, and they were saying, well, it cost me $2,800. I was like, oh my word, I don't have $280, let alone $2,800. And listen. I'm in the ministry and I'm a minister and I have a side gig where I do freelance illustration. But being in the ministry, as I've told my son before, it doesn't mean that you don't have problems arise. It's not a cloak of invulnerability. We still have to trust God for our income just like anybody else. But this popped up. I was just like, man. And, you know, your mind's working on you. There's the anxiety about it. There's the fear of how much it's going to cost and so forth. And my wife, she had wanted to test the truck out. Maybe see what, you know, because she's a real go-getter and grew up around trucks. And I said, sure. And she got in the truck and tested it out, and we all went home in her vehicle. Well, she'd left her phone in the truck that was parked at the grocery store. So I took her car and ran back up there. Well, when I got in the car, I just said, "Sir," talking to the Lord, "Sir, my mind is going in every direction at once. I'm going to get quiet and listen to you, because I don't have in my own mind. Now, I'm not on my own, as we talked, you know, on other training courses and other blocks of instruction. I'm not on my own. I've got him. We're in blood covenant. You know that, and we know, and I know that. But I'm saying in myself, I don't have the answer to this. I don't have a clue what to do." So I got in the truck and just began to be quiet. But listen, already up till now, you know, I have prayed, I've resisted the devil, and I've quoted scriptures, and you know, I'm kind of grasping at straws, but I'm trying to do the right thing. You know, I'm trying to, you know, trust God here, and like, you know, and I, you know, resist the devil, and which is a scripture in James chapter 4, and you know, and I've, you know, claimed favor and claimed help, and you know, took, you know, God, you help me out, and you're my helper, and I've just said a lot of things, but I'm not getting anywhere. I've just made a lot of, I'll just be frank with you, I just really made a lot of noise. I hadn't done step number one, which is go to him and hear what he has to say. I hadn't inquired of the Lord like David did. I didn't take the problem to my source until I got in the truck, and we got in the vehicle to go back up to the truck, which I now did. I said, "Okay, sir, I'm here. Here's the problem." And I'm about halfway there, and this scripture has been coming back up in my heart, and it's again from James, also in the same fourth chapter. It says, "You have not because you ask not." Like, you have not because you ask not. And what do you mean he kept coming back? I'd sit there and be quiet, and it would seem to float up from within me. The thought would come up. It wasn't my brain trying to find a solution. It just kept coming up. And I'd think about that and think about the problem again. And here would come that scripture back up 3 or 4 times. And I said, "Sir, I keep getting this have not because you ask not." And I'll never forget it. I heard the Lord, what do you mean, out here like an audible voice? No, I heard it down in the inner radio of my spirit, in my heart. But he said this, I'll never forget it. He said, "You need to treat me like a best friend." And when he said that, "You need to treat me like a best friend," he made me think about I have a very close friend who lives in Oklahoma. And he said, if you called him and he knew how to work on cars, or, you know, and you asked him for help, you'd be at ease. You just would be like, "Whew, thanks for the help." He said, "You need to treat me like a best friend." Whew. I said, "Sir, I need to treat you like a best friend. So what do I do?" And it was, he said this with such a tone of smile and good humor about it. And I'll tell you exactly how he said it and how it sounded when I heard it. Again, coming from the same inner radio in my heart, from the Holy Spirit in my heart. He said, "Dude, you still haven't asked me for anything." And it was like the light went on over my head. Like, you're absolutely right. I've been, you know, just, and just trying to make noise and you know, and be a good boy, you know, be a good boy of faith. But I hadn't done anything. I hadn't accomplished anything. I hadn't asked my source anything yet. I said, "Sir, I will." And I was thinking about the scripture from Matthew chapter 7. We'll read it here in a minute. And it says, ask. Jesus saying this. Ask, and it shall be given you. Boy, you can't get any simpler than that. And so I decided, I said, "Okay, sir, I'll treat you like a best friend." And he said, "Do it for real. Ask him," you know, basically he said, he was saying to me, "Ask me like you'd ask any of your other friends. Just be straight with me. Be direct." Well, you know what? Your mind, we don't realize how much we've been programmed to approach God with such fakeness and falseness and putting on airs. And I sat there and I thought about it and I thought about it and I kind of self-edited in my mind, you know, the word. I'd open my mouth to say something and said, no, that's not the real thing yet. And finally I just said, sir, help me with this. Fix this truck for me. And that's how I said it. And I'm telling you, as God is my witness and as I'm speaking to you, instantly, all the panic left, all the stress and pressure was just washed out. And I knew, like I knew that God has made us his best friend, made me his best friend, made us his, but you. And like I knew that he was real, I knew that he'd handle it. It was handled from that moment forward. Now, let me tell you, I didn't see a single thing change. I got back up in the, up there to the truck, to the grocery store, back of the parking lot, tried to move the truck. You know, listen, you know, no miracle had happened to the truck that I was aware of to help it steer better. You know what I mean? Still in the same condition. But none of that was relevant because down in the inside of me, in the real part of us, I knew it was handled. No one knew that I had done this. No one knew that we were even having any trouble other than my wife. So I got home and it's just getting stronger. I just asked him and I knew that he'd hand. I knew it was handled. I knew he now had the problem just because I'd asked him. What's the principle at work here? I treated him like a best friend. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, we mentioned it earlier. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says this. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. He that seeks, finds, and him that knocks, it shall be opened. He says this, what man is there of you, in verse 9, who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a rock or a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake or a serpent? He said, if you being evil, he means natural, know how to give good gifts to your children. You know what a good gift is? What you ask for. What you ask for, help, food. He said, unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And as I was reading that the next day, I thought about this. I was thinking about these scriptures, and I heard the Lord say, and I even wrote it in my Bible, give good things to them that ask him. And I heard him say, so ask me. Well, we're reading here, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? We're not changing the scriptures at all. We said it like this for the sake of our study. How much more shall your best friend, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Treat him like a best friend. Ask your best friend. Treat him like a best friend. Well, I need you to hear this first before we go on. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now listen, there's scripture that we've brought out both in the podcast, Real Talk, and some of the other training blocks about, and we go in some more depth about God and the process about how he made us his best friend, and he has announced and pronounced over us that he has made us the righteousness of God. So we don't have time to cover that ground right now. But I want you to hear this. Now hear this. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, write this down, 1 Peter 3 at 12. It says, for the eyes of the Lord, our best friend and shepherd, because of whom I always say it for yourself, I always have more than enough. I believe it. He said, for the eyes of the Lord, our best friend, are over the righteous. Don't let religion tell you that's not you. God's already told you that that's you. You've been made the righteousness of God. You are the righteous. He says, his eyes are upon you, and his ears are opened unto your prayers. Can I make it simpler for you? He's listening to you. He hears you. You treat him like a best friend and say, sir, my brain can't figure this out, but you can. Help me, please. You know what to do. You're my best friend. So show me what to do. That's very simple. You're treating him like a best friend. I know you're smart. So help me out with this, please. With a smile on your face, knowing that he's listening to you. That his eyes on you, his ears listening to you. Do you know what that means? You have his attention permanently. You don't need to beg for anything. You don't need to get his attention or wear him down. You already have his ear. You already have his eye. He's already paying attention to you. He's just waiting for you to treat him like a best friend. When he said that in that scripture in James chapter 4, you have not because you ask not. It's opening up a very big principle here. God's not going to get involved where he's not invited. I don't mean begged for. I don't mean pulled on. Jesus walked through crowds who were constantly touching on him and pulling on him. But we don't have any record of that doing them any good. But you'd be direct with your best friend. And you treat him with the respect that you would give your natural friend. Listen, you got a friend who's a gunsmith and you've got a problem with one of your firearms and it's just absolutely tore up from the floor up, as the saying goes. And you say, hey, man, listen, I need your help. I messed this thing up. Well, the reason you're asking is because you know he's going to say, hey, man, bring it over. You're not wondering if he'll help you. You're getting in his schedule for him to help you. Isn't that right? Well, 1 John chapter 5. Now that you know that you are the righteous and you have his eye, you have his attention and he is hearing you. Listen, that's not some days and some days not. That's permanently. That's permanently. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him. Him who? Him, God, our best friend and source. It says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And people have spent decades, dare I say centuries and millennia, debating over what is the will of God. Do you know what his will is here and now? For the sake of this study and conversation, his will is that you and I treat him like a best friend. So let's read it like this. If we ask anything of him, treating him like a best friend, he hears us. I was listening to a man of God talk one time, and he just got curious. He said, sir, what do you do with all those unbelieving prayers? And he said, what do you mean? God's speaking to the man of God. He said, you know, all the prayers of, oh, God, help me. And all the whining. He said, I don't know what you mean. He said, you know exactly what I mean. And he said, listen, the Lord's speaking here. I don't hear them. Meaning not like he's deaf to them. He said, they don't get to me. They are not on the right bandwidth. It never registers. He doesn't hear it. God's ears and bandwidth are set to blood covenant and confidence. And yeah, thank you, Lord. Being direct. Treating him like he's real. Treating him like a best friend. Man, hear it again. We got to do this one more time. He said, this is the confidence we have in him, our best friend and source, that if we ask anything according to his will, that we treat him like a best friend, he hears us. Man, that's exciting. You can know that God's heard you. It does something for you. It did something for me that night. I knew he'd heard me, and I knew it was handled. Did you have any other details in that? That's all I needed at the moment, evidently. Let's go on to the next verse, verse 15. It says, and if we know that he hears us, who hears us? If we know that our best friend hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions. You know what a petition is? A desire that you've asked for. A desire that you've asked for. It says, we know that we have it. Well, that's exactly the effect that it had on me. I knew I had it. I'm not describing anything you can't have. I'm describing something that he wrote down here in black and white as a copy of this covenant that all of us can have. It says that the things that we desired and asked of him, that we have desired of him. I wanted help with this truck. I wasn't going to tell him I want the money to come in this way at this time. No. Let him work out the details. Just be straight with him and ask him for the help. Ask him for the thing. Ask him for the desire. And at that moment, I desire this truck to be fixed. I said, sir, help me with this truck. Fix it for me, please. Fix it. Please and thank you. Oh, it's wonderful. And listen, when you know you've got it, what you've desired because you have that inward knowing. That's where you want to have it first, is knowing you've got it inside. When you have the knowing, when you know you've got it, you can rest. What do you mean rest? You can stop struggling. The pressure's over. Whew. I know I've got it. Treat him like a best friend. And do it for real. Ask him. Be straight with him. His will is that you and I treat him like a best friend. Well, let's move on here for the sake of time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Just make a note of it. You can go back and look it up in your hard copy Bible or your Takarta Bible app. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8 says, but be not therefore like unto them. Now, who is he talking about like unto them? He's talking about people praying in verse 7 with vain repetitions. What's that sound like? Well, I'm not really sure how it sounded like back then, but you ever heard anybody, oh, God, help me, help me. God, help me. God, help me, help me. God, please help. God, please. I mean, and I get it. They're hurting. But there's a better way. That's not treating him like a best friend. That's treating him like someone you've got to talk into the idea of helping you. That's not how he is. You don't talk your best friend into the idea of helping you. They're your best friend. They've already decided they're into the idea of helping you. And no best friend more than God has already decided to help you. Hebrews 13, verse 6, it said, so we can say with boldness now, the Lord is my helper, my best friend and shepherd, because of whom I always have more than enough. Because of whom I always have more than enough is my helper, and I will not fear. Man, our best friend, God, and our best friend, his son, Jesus, our elder brother and best friend, they've already made up their minds. Their eyes are on you. Their ears are open to you. They're paying attention to us permanently and eternally to be our help. Well, hey, that part's settled then. Let's just treat them like they're telling the truth and act like it's real and just treat them like a best friend. Amen. So he says, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. He knows. God, man, God, my best friend and source, he knew about that truck. Well, why didn't he just jump in and do it? I didn't ask him to. I heard a quote that was attributed to John Wesley, founder of the Wesleyan and Methodist churches. Wesleyan University and Methodist churches. And he said this: it seems that God is limited by our prayer life and that he needs someone on earth to ask him. Well, think about it from a best friend and blood covenant perspective. Best friends in blood covenant don't force their help on their covenant friends. They've offered it. They've made it known. Hey, I'm with you to the end of the line, pal. I'm with you till the wheels come off. I'm with you eternally. Everything I have is yours, but I need you to ask. What's the significance of the asking? It's respect. I'm not going to force it on you. I've given it to you, but I'm not going to make you take it. That's forcing my will on them. That's not how best friends act. And God is the best friend, the eternal best friend whose integrity is beyond reproach. He is gentle and he is good and he is never going to force himself, his will or his gifts or his generosity on anyone. Amen. He's not a tyrant. He's a best friend. But he already knows what things we have need of before we ask him. Well, as I went to bed that night, I was still listening to my heart for, you know, anything next. And because, listen, I knew he'd handled it, but I was also listening for if he would have me take any steps. So I'm listening. And before I go to bed, as I'm laying down to go to bed, I have an inward it seemed like a broadcast, like a message came over the radio. And it was just this: when you get up first thing in the morning, there's a mechanic in town, call him and get a tow truck priced. See how much it costs to get it towed. Of all the ideas that I had tried to come to my mind, that was the one that had peace. It was simple. I'm just asking, how much does it cost to get towed? And while I was on the phone with the mechanic, I described him the problem. He said, yeah, it sounds like a power steering belt. Not too much trouble. He said, should only, I think with time and labor, he said it was something like $200, $250, something like that. Hey, that's a lot better than $2,800. Already the blessing of the Lord at work. You know what I'm saying? Listen, which is better, $250 or $2,800? Yeah, $250 is better. So I said, okay. Well, I won't go into all the details, but I want you to know this, that I had someone who didn't even know about the problem found out and offered, demanded to help. And as I'm listening, you know, I don't want to just, you know, jump at the first offer of help. You know, I don't want to be desperate. I'm just still listening. Is this how God wants to do it? There was peace in it. I said, okay, Lord, this seems like it's you. There wasn't any strings attached. It was just generosity. Someone wanted to help. God worked it all out. And by the end of the afternoon, the truck is fixed, and I made my appointment, was able to be around some friends and be a blessing. But here's the principle at work. The Lord worked it out. And I took the steps. I called the mechanic. Why am I bringing that up and emphasizing that? Because he may give you steps to take. I had to cooperate. He may tell you to check with a dealer somewhere, or you need a new vehicle. He may tell you to check here or do this or take this step or get this in order. You desire one of these and you know, get this worked out, get paperwork ready. You know, whatever steps he gives you to take, do it like Mary said about Jesus at the wedding feast of Cana. She turned to the servants and said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And if you need help in that area, go online to MisfitToySociety.com. Go to the training resources and look at the the section. I believe it's block 4, but it talks about listening to the Holy Spirit. It's following him and hearing his voice. Those going over those again and again will help build your confidence that you're not only hearing him, that it gives you confidence to act on what you're hearing. So he gave me the step to take. That was the only step I really had to take, was that one step. That was enough, which was get up, first thing, check with the mechanic, see what's up. God's good. Amen. Well, we just read, talking about this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, ask. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions we've desired of him. Well, I want you to hear this in Matthew chapter 22. Make a note of it. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 21. Excuse me. That's the wrong verse. That's render, therefore, unto Caesar what is Caesar's. No, hold on. Stand by. I'm going to look it up. Yeah, that's it. 21:21. Rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's is another conversation. Now, this is 20, not 22:21, 21:21. thank God. All right. Matthew 21:21 says this. Strike my last. Give me one more thing here. Look at this, what Jesus says in verse 21. Jesus answers, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not. He said, you shall not only do what is done to the fig tree, but you shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Now notice what the main ingredient here is, faith. But that's a very general term. We're talking about confidence in God. I want you to hear this phrase again from 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him. By asking, we're placing our confidence in him. By treating him like a best friend, we are placing our confidence in him. So verse 22 is where we wanted to get to. And all things, where have we heard that already? He gives us all things richly to enjoy. He gives us freely all things. He gives us the desires of our heart. This fits in with those, doesn't it? All things. Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. What are we believing? That he hears us. And then when he hears us, we're believing that we have it. Because we know he's heard us, we're believing that he have. You can substitute believing and knowing, and they work almost interchangeably here. In fact, they do work interchangeably here. We believe that he hears us, so we believe that he have it. We know he hears us. We know he has it. Amen. Just because we asked him and treated him like a best friend. Do you see that? Just ask him. You know that he, your best friend, hears you. And you know that you have it because he has heard you. Man. Well, hey, we're going to wrap this up for now, for this session. We're going to end it with this. John chapter 20, Jesus has come back from the dead. And some of his guys have heard about it. And they're skeptical. Some of them are. Some of them saw him, but hey, we've seen him. And Thomas, he says, unless I see the holes in his hands. Hey, listen, people who are grieving and who are confused, we say and do stupid stuff sometimes. And it's really easy to yield to doubt when we're not at our best. So that doesn't excuse it. I just want you to be aware of it. But Thomas says, he says, except, and this is verse 25, John chapter 20, except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. He said, I will not believe. And notice, not I can't believe. He's deciding that he won't believe. He won't decide to believe. Well, after 8 days, it goes on to say that Jesus was, again, you know, the disciples were gathered together, and Jesus just stood in the room, bing, like he'd turn a light switch on. It just, zoom, just right there. Like, man, Star Trek transporter ain't got nothing on Jesus. You know, he doesn't just materialize. He's just there. Man, that's cool. Our best friend knows how to make an entrance. You know what I'm saying? And he says, peace unto you. And they're like, ooh, goodness gracious. He says, hey, it's just me. Take it easy. Peace unto you. Well, he turns and looks at Thomas right away and says this in verse 27. Then says he to Thomas, reach hither your finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and put it into my side. He says, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Notice that. My Lord and my God. My best friend and my source. It fits in. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. Or you've decided to put confidence in me. He said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. When you ask him and treat him like a best friend, you're believing that he's heard you, and because he's heard you, that you have it. You're not trusting what you see and feel, because for the most part, as far as you can see and feel, nothing's changed. Just like me in my wife's car going back to get her cell phone. Nothing had changed. The truck wasn't miraculously struck by lightning and suddenly the power steering's back. But on the inside, everything had changed. I knew that it was fixed. I knew I had it. Had what? The desire that I'd asked for when he told me to treat him like a best friend. Listen, when we decide we believe our best friend without seeing or feeling anything, but just believing what he has said in his blood covenant, this is where we are treating him like he is our best friend. God is so good to us. And he is the best friend we could ever have. You know what? I just hear him saying to me in my heart, say that all again. When we decide that we believe our best friend, without seeing or feeling anything, but just believing, just deciding that we believe what he said in his covenant. He said, treat you like a best friend and ask you. So I'm asking you. And I know that you've heard me. And because I know you've heard me, because you've made me your very best friend, I know that I've got it. The petition, the desire that I'm asking of you. I know I've got it. This is where we are treating him like he is our best friend. Man, isn't he good? He is the best friend we could ever have. Man, he's good. I'm so glad that you heard that tonight, today, wherever you are, whatever time of day it is. I'm glad that you got that. We're going to possibly come back and go over this again. And listen, we have partners who help us get this message out. And there are so many people who need to hear about how God is their very best friend and has made them his very, he has made them his very best friend, and that we have a covenant with him. We have a binding blood oath with him. And they know our message. We've got to get this to misfits all over the world, and also one misfit at a time. And they are completely all in all the time with the vision here. Well, if that's you and you, God's dealing with you to support this and help us get the message out and expand our capabilities, we want to do more on video and more resources and better live streaming, go online to misfittoysociety.com. You can go to Pay It Forward, and you can go on there and, hey, listen, there's no pull. We are offering. We're not begging. There's no pressure on you. We trust God, but we have, you know, he's let us know he wants us to make the offer known. If that's you, go on and do whatever he tells you to do. Amen. Listen, I love you and God loves you. He is your best friend, and we will see you soon.